Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. And what we've been doing, we've been covering Acts for the first service. We've been covering, actually we started in Acts chapter 1, and we're going through Acts chapter 11 for a specific purpose that we've already defined. And so I want to continue with that today. And so if you would, open your book up to Acts chapter 8, and let's continue in this study. And we're getting very close to the end of it. It may be of another month before we finish it. But still, we've got a series going on, and you'll be able to get the series after the fact. So if you would, bow your head, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us have a place to meet and for people to listen. And we just wish our fellow brethren were here to be edified and lost souls could be saved in this room. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you. Amen. So, let's start in, any questions first? Let's start in Acts chapter 8. So we finished up Acts chapter 7 last week, but we may revert right back to a couple of the verses. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul, as we know now, that was the Apostle Paul, but at the time period, his name was Saul. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Well, whose death is that? That's Stephen. Remember, Stephen was one of the seven that was appointed by the disciples back over in the earlier portions of Acts. I believe it's Acts chapter 5. Let me look real quick because we're going to go back over there. It is in Acts chapter 6, verse 5 that we're going to be going to shortly. But it's Stephen that we're talking about here, that Saul was consenting unto his death. Well, hold on to that verse because we're going to jump back. Let's go to verse 56 of chapter 7. And this is Stephen saying this, and said at Stephen, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they, who is they? They is the Sanhedrin, the council, cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear any more of this murder indictment, and ran upon him with one accord. One accord is they all had murder in their hearts right then, in verse 58, and cast him out of the city. You couldn't kill a man inside the city. You had to cast him out if you're going to stone him. And stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. Now, in verse 58, a young man's feet whose name was Saul. We know he was a young man because the Bible just said so. And what I'm telling you is I absolutely believe he was a student. He was a student under Gamaliel. Who was the most famous of all the Jewish teachers for the Sanhedrin. And so Saul, who later became Paul, was there, and he was egging it on. He was holding their clothes, but he was a young man. Remember that part right there. Back over to verse 1 of chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death at Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. You know, we've drawn it up here before numerous times, but we know that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead for your justification. We know that. But this is called the church at Jerusalem. Now, we know there was a church in the wilderness with Moses, okay? There's a church at Jerusalem. But we're not in that church. We're in the church, which is called the body of Christ. And that's as far as I'm going to draw that out. But we're under the dispensation of the grace of God. So there's a church at Jerusalem, and that's what it's referencing right here to distinguish between the church, which is the body of Christ, which was a mystery kept secret and hid. Now, back again to the same verse. And they were all scattered. Who was scattered? The disciples. Abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Except there's 12 apostles that were not scattered. They stayed at Jerusalem. Their life was in peril every day. There's a lot of people and teachers say, well, you know, they let the Lord down. They didn't leave Jerusalem to go out and start preaching somewhere else. No. They withstood, just like we withstand pressure from people who would try to close us up or try to shut us up, from denominations to fellow brethren and so forth. those 12 apostles, they were diligent in staying with their life in jeopardy every day that they were in Jerusalem. Because remember, Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death and a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And there was a great persecution. I mean, I can just see it in my mind's eye, just exactly. These people had to leave. They had to leave and scatter. You know, and such has been in persecution from over in Europe when people came, the Puritans came to America for religious toleration so they could get away from the church. They had to leave certain places because they were killing people even there in Europe. And it's just one of those things that took place. Verse 2. Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen. Devout men is probably some religious, it could have been a Judaizer. We don't know, but they were devout men. Because if they'd have been someone of the faith of Christ that Peter was preaching to, they would have probably got stoned themselves. So it was devout men, probably Jews, who carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. In other words, what is that? That's sorrow and that's grief, and they mourn for Stephen. Even though they couldn't, quote, as we use the terms today, come out of the closet and say, yes, we believe in this Jesus that you're preaching, they had to keep quiet about it or they'd have been persecuted. But they made a great lamentation over him. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now, we're going to look at this pretty heavy. God's about to bring in a new dispensation, okay? So he introduces Saul of Tarsus. This is the introduction of Saul, the Lord's what? Most vicious and relentless enemy on the planet, on earth. But see, he didn't introduce him to crush him. He introduced him to save him and show the supreme demonstration of his boundless grace. Because, you know, Paul was the chief of sinners. And a lot of people think that that word chief, and I used to be the same way, the chief of sinners. Well, this guy's got to be the worst man that's ever lived and walked the face of the earth. But that's not true. He was bad, but he wasn't the worst. Because you got to see how the word is used in context. Come on in, Candy. You got to see how the word is used as chief. There's a lot of chief. If you'll go back in the scriptures, and that's not what it's about today, maybe we'll cover that another time. There's a lot of people who believe he's the worst, but he's not. He's the word chief here means foremost. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. He is the foremost sinner, not the worst sinner. Because who could be the worst sinner? Could Judas? You know, we don't know. But anyway, he was the foremost sinner.
It says he was out front where people could see how
yes,
he was.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. The foremost, not the worst. There's a difference. I'd always thought years ago that he was the worst one. But he wasn't. He was the foremost. He was the chief sinner. That's a very good point out front there. Now, what did it say in Acts 8, 3? As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. I don't believe we need to go into what havoc is. He just tried to destroy it. Now, by going over to go over to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to look at some of the things that this guy really did. I mean, if he hadn't become our apostle, we would despise this individual. We would say off with his head, too. But the Lord had different plans for Saul of Tarsus. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says this. He said, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Remember, he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Jew of a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was of the Pharisees, the sect of the Pharisees, the strictest one of the sects. But he says, if you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, Judaism, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many, mine equals and mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He just says, I persecuted the church of God. In this reference right here, he's talking about the church of God right here, the church at Jerusalem. That's what Peter was preaching. It's the church at Jerusalem, the church of God. That's the reference, because he persecuted it. Okay? There's no misunderstanding there. Back to Acts chapter 8, verse 3. And he said, entering into every house and hailing men and women. That's dragging them out, men and women. He committed them to prison. Now, and according to his own testimony in Acts chapter 26, how about going over to Acts chapter 26, verse 11? And let's look at that. Acts chapter, well, there's a lot of this going on in here. And if you just sit down and put it together, it's amazing. Okay, verse 11. Paul is talking here, and I punished them, talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ according to the gospel of the circumcision, and I punished them oft in every synagogue. You see the word every. That's all of them. And compel them to blaspheme, reject, talk evil of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. My gosh, this guy was bad to the bone, though. He was. I mean, it's just like us. You walking in here and somebody stands outside and sees you and comes on in. This is not a synagogue, but it's a church. You come on in here and drag you out and go out there and beat you, put you in prison because you walked through the door here. Or you professed your life is in Jesus Christ. So there's some differences here. Things that, and there is some people right this moment throughout the world that are being martyred. There's some people right this moment that are being killed and their heads are being cut off as we speak. And the one way you can do it is, if you want to look it up on the internet, it's called Voice of the Martyrs. You can see where people are being persecuted. And I'm not even saying that the preachers and teachers and the people that are the ambassadors that are over there even preaching the right gospel. All they're mentioning is Jesus Christ. Probably repent and be baptized, but the fact of it is, they're getting their heads cut off. You try to sneak Bibles into a country that does not allow it and see what happens to you. Harry's got a friend, and he came in here a couple of times. He went over there for 3 weeks, and I think he's a Baptist of some kind, but he told me he went over there and distributed Bibles years ago. And he took his own life in his own hands. But he prayed about it before he left. And he says, you know, whatever the will of the Father is, I'm going. And he did, and he made it back. So things like that really do happen right now. If you just look around, there's so many things going on in this world, we don't even pay attention to it. You know, when we see a murder here in Pensacola, we say, oh, that's bad. Let's move on. Let's go have a Coke. I mean, if somebody gets raped, same thing. Well, sorry, she probably did it herself, you know. She probably egged it on. Somebody gets killed in a car wreck. You know, oh, they were speeding out. We just take everything for granted. It's so prevalent in our society, we don't even think about it anymore. People getting persecuted for preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, well, I don't like that, but that's what happens. Just think about that. You can see it every day in your life. Things that we get so accustomed to on television, violence is what we see. We see all these CSIs and these law programs, and people are being murdered, and we see the mob and those kind of things. It's just everyday occurrence now. So it's just that kind of thing that we're, in this present evil world that we're facing on a daily basis, that we don't even take a real deep thought about. Let's continue with this. Now, so we went over there and we saw in Acts 20, well, we are in Acts 26. We didn't read that. Acts 26. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11. Now, see, Paul was talking to King Agrippa here. Because Agrippa said, look, you're permitted to speak. So in verse 11, let's see. And I punished them often in every synagogue. We did read it. And compel them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Now, if you would go over to Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But see, we know into strange cities. They were in Jerusalem. And then these people scattered. into Judea and Samaria. And so Paul, he went after them there. That's when he said strange cities.
Or does that mean even into non-Jewish cities? Is that what that means?
No, because what's being preached here is not to the Gentiles. It's in the synagogues. That's where it's at. Wherever a Jew was at. And that's who it was being presented. That's who Peter was preaching to in Acts 2:38. And there was no Gentiles involved in this other than the ones that were in the covenants of promise. Nobody like you or me. We were without God and without hope in the world. We didn't even hear it.
So it means cities outside of Jerusalem.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Cities outside Jerusalem. We're going to get a little bit more into that. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, still known as Saul here, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, that's murder, against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And at this time it should have still been Caiaphas. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to Assyria. So he wanted to go as far as Syria, to the synagogues. See, he didn't go anywhere else. He went to the synagogues that if he found any of this way, someone that believed in the Lord, or professed they did, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. That's what his idea was. Now, back over to Acts chapter 26. We're going to read another verse. Because this relates exactly to right there in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts 26, 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, he just got permission in Acts 9, 1. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. Well, he asked for it, and this says he got it. He's got permission to go to these strange cities, which is in Syria is one of them, but it was to the synagogues only. Only. Most definitely. Now, how about going to Acts chapter 22? Let's go to verse 5. Well, I think I want to go to Acts 22, verse 3 first. Paul says this, Acts chapter 22, verse 3. I am barely a man which am a Jew. He was very proud of that fact. Born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a student of his and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. You can be zealous of God and still go to hell. Paul was on that portion of it. You know, it's all about God. No, it's not. It's about Jesus Christ and grace through faith. But he was very zealous toward God in ignorance. He did it all in ignorance, he says. Verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto the death. He persecuted all these people unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Now here's where I had started, verse 5. As also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, and this is the council he's talking about, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren and went to Damascus. He said, see, this is another one of those where he went to Damascus. For what reason? To bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. To be punished. He was wreaking havoc on everybody that even mentioned the Lord's name. Now, so this young student, guess what? Saul, he become a religious madman. That's really what he did. Zealous of the law, knowing nothing about Jesus Christ and him crucified, he didn't care. But let's see what happens here in Acts. Well, we just read that one. Acts 26 again. Acts 26. I know we're jumping around in Acts here and other places, but it's very important to set this up. Acts 26, verse 10. We've already read 11 and 12, but verse 10. Verse 9, I'm sorry. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. He did contrary things to those people in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I give my voice against them. I voted for them to be put to death. This guy was bad to the bone. He really was. There is no doubt about it. But how about going over to Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9. Now let's look at verse 13. The risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, just got through speaking to Ananias. And in verse 13, Ananias answered the Lord. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man," talking about Saul, how he'd been persecuting and agging on the killing of them, "how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem," specifically at Jerusalem. You see, he'd go to Syria, Damascus, and all around, and he'd bring them back to Jerusalem where they were bound, and that's where they were persecuted and killed. In verse 14, "And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." That's what Ananias is telling the Lord. He'd got authority from all these chief priests to call on, for anybody to, and to bind them that call on your name, Lord. What's happening here, really? But see, how often does the rage of Christ's enemies turn into something that furthers the gospel? You know, you got to look at that. And it happens. I remember when Paul, and this is going ahead of ourselves, but Paul was bound in chains in Rome, in prison. And pretty soon he had to be bound with a chain with a guard to keep him from leaving. So he had a guard with him all the time. Can you imagine Paul talking, witnessing, really, to that guard? And every 8 hours they'd change. And then he witnessed to another. And pretty soon, Paul had them guards convinced that they trusted the Lord there with the grace of God. But see, it's just like you just mentioned, you know, the adversity and what things happened in the adversity of the attack on the World Trade Center. The churches started filling up. Now, I don't believe that was a plan of the Lord's. That's man's plan. The fact of it is, but God knew before the foundation of the world that September of 11th of 2001 was going to take place. And he knew also, through his foreknowledge, that people would start going to church. And I pray, hopefully, that somebody taught them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that day, because they had a captive audience. And it's very hard to have a captive audience of that magnitude. That was a turning point for America. And I believe right after that, they got complacent again, like I was talking about a while ago, and they moved out, and they're not filling up the pews anymore. But let some other drastic situation happen again. They'll come back because they're afraid. It's like a lot of people will not pray until they are in dire need. You know what? You're supposed to pray all the time. So the Bible tells you to pray unceasingly. You're supposed to pray in good times when the Lord's blessing you, just like you are whenever you're sick. Why wait till you get sick? Why wait until there's a disaster like September the 11th before you'll ever set foot in a church? It's just what people do. They don't need the Lord until they're in adversity. But they really do. So, continue praying. Now, we read Acts 9, 13, and 14 about having the authority, but how about going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And y'all thought it was just going to be Acts 8. This is Acts 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 9. In verse 8, though, I think I want to start in 7. After that, after the 500 brethren saw him, after that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. In verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also. That's Paul writing this. As of one born out of due time. Seen of me. Now, verse 9 is where I'd hit him. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. There's so many times, we went over quite a few verses here where he was a persecutor. We're going to go to another one. Go over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. This guy was bad, but he wasn't the worst. Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. I must have my reference wrong in here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says this about himself. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. But I'm going to start in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, Paul says, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because what? I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. He didn't know anything about this, but he was so zealous into the Judaism and the Jews' religion. But we've seen so many times Paul being a persecutor, he just exposed himself to the world because he was so happy. He counted everything that he had done in the Jewish religion as nothing but dung. Absolutely nothing. Because he knew it was no good. Okay, back over to Acts chapter 8 again. I want to go to verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. How about going over to Matthew chapter 10 real quick? Hold on to this. Matthew chapter 10. Go to verse 23. Matthew 10, 23. The Lord Jesus said this when he was on the face of the earth walking around as a prophet. But when they persecute you in this city, and this is applicable to Jerusalem, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. In other words, he's talking about the second coming. They didn't understand what he was talking about here. But now that we have the scriptures written down, we can see. But when they persecute you, and they did, back over here in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, they scattered in verse 1. And they were under great persecution. You shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. I think that's awesome. Let's look at that again. Therefore, they that were scattered, who was scattered? All the disciples. Every one of them, not one left. The only people that stayed in Jerusalem that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ was the 12 apostles. They went abroad, but they went everywhere preaching the word. What is the word? It's not, I want to show you what it's not. It's not Christ crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead for your justification. No, that's not the word. It was that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected to sit on the throne of David as the Messiah. That's the word we're talking about here. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation, but the word that we're talking about here in Acts, right where we're at, is the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the circumcision. So Jesus Christ can come back at his second coming to sit on the throne of David, as it says so over in Acts. So that's what it is. Verse 5 of Acts chapter 8. This is something to take a good look at. Then Philip, who's Philip? We're going to see. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. But go over to Acts chapter 6. Hold on to this. Go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. Do you remember when we talked about in Acts chapter 6 here, verse 5, when those Those widows in Samaria were being neglected. Peter says, hey guys, y'all, you disciples, y'all get together and you pick yourself seven men. They picked seven men and they were Grecians. Greek-speaking Jews is what they chose. And the first one, I want you to look in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. What happened to Stephen in chapter 7? He was martyred. He was killed. But now we're just mentioning Philip over in Acts chapter 8. What's the next name? These are in order of prominence. And Philip, he's the second person named. He's the next one that come up after Stephen. So he's a Grecian, but he's next in line. Back over to Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip, the second one that was chosen, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Well, what about Samaria? Samaria, you know, you've got the 10 tribes of Israel, and you've got the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Now, there was, both of them went into captivity, and this is a long story, I'm not getting involved in it too much, but I will tell you this. The Jews, Judah, the two tribes, they really despised the people of Samaria. Even though they were Jews and of the 10 tribes, for various reasons we'll cover in a whole lesson sometime, they looked upon the Samaritans as less than the Gentiles, if that can be. They intermarried and they did all kind of stuff, and they married Gentiles, these Jews in Samaria did. But there's something good about those Samarian people. You know, Jerusalem, the Jews in Jerusalem would not accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They rejected him, killed the last offer that they had with Stephen. But the Samaritans, they accepted the preaching, and we're going to see that. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. But you know what? Philip was not the one. See, there's a Philip that's an apostle. This is not Philip the apostle. This is Philip the evangelist. Just like Stephen was an evangelist, this is not one of the 12 apostles. Remember what it said? Except the apostles. They all stayed in Jerusalem. Everybody left except the apostles. So Philip was one of those that stayed in Jerusalem. This is a different Philip. He's an evangelist. And I've showed you where we got him from, Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Now, let's keep on reading here. And the people, with one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. The people is referenced here as Jews, and that's who lived in Samaria. Mixed up, of course, but they were mixed, but they were still Jews. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. He could do some miracles. You know, something about these Samaritans. The Lord opened this up. He went over there, this evangelist, not being an apostle. He went over there and he preached, and guess what? They just accepted it right out. But they did not accept this teaching of the apostles in Jerusalem. They wanted to be off with their head, and they did crucify and kill some of them. But Samaria just opened up, and they believed it. Let's keep moving. Verse 7, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. You don't see that today. Okay? That's their signs. They're for the Jews. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. You don't walk out here and some evangelist start preaching and some guy jump up and walk away and throw his crutches away. He's in a cast or he's got a foot that's 1 foot shorter than the other one and he's healed and he walks away praising the Lord. You don't see that. That doesn't happen today. The signs are for the Jews. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. What's that city? That's Samaria. It's not specific on what city it is. It just says the city of Samaria. There's a lot of cities in Samaria, but it's that city. I don't know which one it is. It's called the city of Samaria. Verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city in Samaria used sorcery. Ah, sorcery. Well, he was a magician of the magi. and he used the magical arts. He used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He let the people of Samaria think he was somebody. Back over to Acts chapter 5, if you would. I want to go to verse 36 and show you about this. You remember whenever Gamaliel got involved in this at the council because they wanted to crucify Peter and all the people, these apostles that were preaching Jesus Christ crucified to be raised up to sit on the throne of David. And Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, he had such a reputation amongst the Jews. He was the leader of the preaching of the Jews. Here's what took place in verse 36. Because they were worried about this Jesus. And here's what he said. For before these days rose up Thetis, I guess the way you pronounce it, boasting himself to be somebody. Now I can back over, hold on to it, but back over in Acts chapter 8, verse 9, I can say that and say Simon. But before these days rose up Simon, boasting himself to be somebody. Because that's exactly what Simon did. He wanted to be somebody. To whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. In other words, they just disappeared. And that's what this right here, this Simon over here in Samaria, he'd been bewitching the people of Samaria, saying that he is somebody that's great, but he was working magic on them. Verse 10 in Acts chapter 8, to whom they all, that's the people of the Samaritans, to whom they all gave heed. They listened from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He had them, just like a lot of preachers out here on television today, has got these people bumfuzzled and bewitched today. They think that some of these preachers walk on water out here. Now, in verse 11, and to him they had regard. That's to Simon, that these Samaritans had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. They're magical arts. But when they believed Philip, it didn't take them long, did it? Boy, he got in there and he preached to Philip the evangelist. He preached and they believed him right off the bat. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Got me now. This is an evangelist, not an apostle. They were baptized in water. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. This sorcerer believed himself. But see, it said he believed. This is like, and you're going to see, he is a lost believer here. Just like we've got people out here today that can believe Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead. They just don't trust him to have died as their salvation. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, that's Simon, he continued with Philip. Oh, he was just amazed and wondered, beholding the signs, the miracles and signs which were done by Philip. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, see the apostles, that tells you right there, the apostles were at Jerusalem. Philip is an evangelist, he's in Samaria. Heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So Peter and John went to Samaria because a bunch of people had been baptized, but as of yet, they were not filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Peter and John prayed for those people of Samaria that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Even though they were baptized in the water, they did not have the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. That's the Holy Spirit. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, that'll blow somebody away in today's Pentecostal church. It really will, because they were baptized, and they had the concurrence of John and Peter and Philip the evangelist, but they didn't have those signs that these Pentecostals seem to portray themselves having out here. Verse 17, then laid they, that's Peter and John, laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Just by John and Peter laying their hands on those people, they received the Holy Ghost. And can you see the power that them apostles had? They had some power. And when Simon, in verse 18, saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Oh, my God. Simon, the sorcerer, believed, and then he offered Peter and, in John money to let him give him the power of God so he could do this. Verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that's what Simon said, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Well, this is just everyday thinking in his brain. He didn't trust. Verse 20, but Peter said unto him, that's Simon, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You cannot purchase the gift of God with money, excuse me, at that time, or you can't purchase it today with money. No matter, the Walmart brothers and sisters can't even get it today. Bill Gates can't get it today. He has nothing on you. Matter of fact, if he hasn't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he's lost and going to hell with his $53 billion. That's exactly where he's headed. You've got things, if you're saved in this room today, you've got things that kings and queens and rulers and presidents and dictators all over the world do not have. Ain't that something? Don't that make you feel special? You are special. God knew every hair on your head before you were ever created. And in my case, he knows how many I've lost. So the thing is, it's just wonderful that God knows everything about you. Let's keep moving. Verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Hey, man, you ain't got nothing to do with us. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. What Peter had to say to him, thy heart is not right in the sight of God? That's exactly. It's the heart. I've told you so many times, this is a heart thing, not a head thing. Then we're going to cover some of that. He had head knowledge, though. It's just like a lot of people that are lost for years thinking they've been saved. They honestly, intellectually believe Christ crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead to pay for their sins. Right here. But they've never trusted their salvation to it. They believe that. But saving faith is of the heart, not of the head. I want you to go somewhere with me. Go over to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Hold on to where you're at, verse 37. And we're not going to read the complete verses because that's not the context that I want you to get. But in verse 37 of Acts chapter 8, and Philip said, and he's talking to someone else now, if thou believest with all thine heart, it's the heart. Go to Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And a certain woman here named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Listen to this. Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. It's the heart. Go to Romans chapter 9. Excuse me, Romans chapter 10. It's all about the heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus now, and shalt believe in thine heart. It's a heart thing. Go to verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's the heart, not the head. It's an important lesson. Because there's so many people in this world who believe intellectually that the Bible is God's Word, that they're sinners, that they need to be saved. They even believe Christ died for their sins. But they're not saved. They're called lost believers. Well, I got that term from Brother Moore. I would have never got it, I don't guess. I would just knew they were lost. But they are lost believers. It's a heart thing, not a head thing. Now, let me see where I'm at exactly. I want to stop right there. And we'll pick up next week right at that point. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. We're going to start in there. We'll back up a little bit so we can catch some of this. But can you see that it's not what you believe intellectually. It's what you believe in your heart. It's what you trust trust the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead to pay for your sins. It's called justification on the third day. He died for your sins. Trust the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Let's take a break.